blessings on the other side. Last week was also another message about how God is involved in our endings. As long as you're alive on the earth, there shall be beginnings take place, and also shall be endings take place. And so if you weren't here last Sunday, I encourage you to go talk to our CD lady here, Connie Kirk, and before you're out here at the end of the service, she has a CD on that as well, on how endings should take place. We talked about how, again, how God is the one who says, Jesus Christ, my Son, is the author, the finisher of our faith. He who begins a good work in us shall complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ, the Bible says, died on the cross, again, I want to remind you, he says, it is finished. He did not say, I am finished. Amen? So sometimes it's like our job, or sometimes even our marriages, sometimes friendships, sometimes places we live at, they come to an end. It may be finished. The good news is, you're not finished, because he's going to begin and complete the work he begins in you by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ himself. Amen? I'm going to speak this morning here on going against the wind. Going against the wind. Again, what I call a kind of standalone message here from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Because I really sense, again, we're going to be finding ourselves in the body of Christ going through winds and turmoils around us. They're going to try to sometimes shake us off the foundations that God has given us by the power of the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of our lives. We're going to see in this message here, I want to encourage you guys to get something to write with. Write some notes down. Write some scriptures down here. There'll be some good things to take home and think about, and also rehearse and learn from this message here on going against the wind. Matthew 7, verse 24, New King James Version says this: therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, notice the next words, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Notice here again, the first thing he says is what? Those who hear my word, but also not just hear my word, but also do my word. There's one thing to actually hear what God says, to hear a sermon or a message like this one today. Another thing to put this thing actually into practice and do what the word of God says to us. It's many, many times easier to hear things, but not actually put those things in practice. But again, God says, or Christ says here, we must be doers of the word, not just hearers only, but also someone like him to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. That word house there means everything about your life. It means your job. It means your marriage. It means your relationships. It means the place you work at, your hobbies. Everything about your life, which we call the oikos of life in the Greek language, is the house being built upon either sand or upon the rock. Many things around us in society, in our culture, in the spiritual realm around us by demonic forces that are working against us are going to try to shake the foundation or shake us off the foundations and blow against the houses God's building and God has built for us. I want to see that as your pastor, that the house is going to remain strong and not find itself going off the foundation or crumbling or falling, no matter what winds blow against it in these last days. Amen? Let's go on now and read verses 25 and 26. Let's focus here upon what the Word of God is saying, because I believe the Holy Spirit has some good things to say to you this morning that is right, that is timely, that is going to be beneficial, and is going to bring forth some reinforcements into your life, both today and also for the future. Amen? So verse 25 and 26 says, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was actually founded, it says here, on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. This is saying that we have the ability to hear the word of God, but actually not put what we hear into practice. What it's saying here is we actually can have the word of God even revealed to us, receive revelation from the Greek and Hebrew language, have things totally torn apart for us and dissected for us so it's totally understood, crystal clear, what God is saying in the Word of God, but still somehow, some way, not act on that or put that into practice. Jesus again says, those who do that, though they hear my word, understand my word, memorize my word, even sometimes speak my word out, if they don't put my word into practice, they're like a man or a woman who builds her house upon the sinking sand. There are many folks in the body of Christ today that God wants to shore up their foundations so that no winds, no rains, no floods can shake them off the foundation who is Christ Jesus the Lord, who has good things for their house upon this earth. Notice also that whether we build on rock, whether we build on sand, the Bible says the storms come regardless. No matter if your house is on the rock, your house is on the sand, there's going to come wind, there's going to come rain, and there's going to come flood, but one house stands and one house falls. How many folks want your house to stand and not to fall? Amen? Because if storms come to all peoples on the face of the earth. All of us have had storms take place before receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So storms happen to all people, believers, unbelievers alike. The difference is one stands and one falls. Let's go on now and read verses 27 through 29. I'm going to go slow methodically here. I want to make sure I linger on sermons, or not sermons, but scriptures and points here today. So these things will sink into your spirit, because I believe very strongly today, very strongly, God's word is active, God's word is sharp, God's word is quick, and God's word will not return void this day, but it's going to go forth and accomplish everything God wants it to accomplish in your life. Holy Spirit, may you plow our hearts, may you plow our minds, help us focus, God, upon what you're saying to us today. Help us, God, see, I just believe, God, that faith is being built in our lives this morning that brings forth lasting reinforcements and brings forth lasting results. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. So, moving on here, let's read verses 27 to 29. It says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell on the sand. And great was its fall. And so it was. When Jesus Christ had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I'm going to give you some things now. I'm going to give you what I call four take-home points this morning. I want to talk about what is being spoken in these verses from Matthew 27, verses 24 through 29. The first thing is, let's talk about number one, Jesus comes to amaze and affect us. Jesus comes to amaze and affect us. We're going to take and define some of these words now from verses 27 to 29 here and see what they actually mean. Notice, first of all, that Jesus' teachings, the Bible says here, astonished them, and he taught them with authority. Let's define what those two words actually mean, authority and astonished. The first word, astonished. Write that word down, astonished. What's astonished means? In the Greek language, we all know the whole New Testament is written from Greek manuscripts. That word astonished actually means it knocked them out of their senses. The words of Jesus Christ knocked them out of their senses. All of us have seen Jesus do that in our lives also. Amen? You know, Jesus Christ was the one who said, forgive those who trespass against you and do evil against you. That knocks me out of my senses. I don't feel like always forgiving people who do wrong things against me. Amen? Jesus told the disciples, when they had 5,000 folks to feed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus said what to them? You feed them. He says things that knocks us out of our common 5 senses because he's the God of the supernatural. And when Jesus Christ shows up in your life, he will always do something to knock you out of your senses, to transform your world from this world into his kingdom world, because God's got a whole lot of fruit for you to bear upon this earth. And your life is very short. Amen? Your life is very short. Okay, so astonished means, number one, knock them out of their senses. Somebody also said that Jesus Christ came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. That's what Christ does for all of us. Amen? The word astonished also means this. Write this down, if you would, please. It means that it amazes us. What Jesus Christ does is so extraordinary. It actually will amaze us how God can take and not just do one thing for one thing, but God can do sometimes 5, 6, 7, or 10 things out of one thing. When God takes and brings forth a thing in your life like a miracle for a new job, not only does your new job happen, but also you start seeing people come to Christ as Lord and Savior. You start seeing new friendships form. You start seeing your children getting blessed. You start seeing your attitude starting to change. You start seeing ideas and creativity coming into your mind. All these things are actually more things than you can ask or think or imagine. When Jesus Christ shows up, he amazes us. Amen? Because he's the God of the miraculous, the God who multiplies. His son, Jesus Christ, is his name. Also, this word means, he taught, it says here next of all, he taught them with authority. Write that word down in your notes. Write down the word authority. What's authority mean? Authority means right and might. Right and might. So what Jesus Christ taught was the truth. It was right. Everything he said was truthful. Amen? It was all right. It was all righteous. It was right. But also, the might means with the words, when he spoke the words out of his mouth, there was actually power in those words to bring transformations in people's lives. His word had authority that was truthful, that was right, and had the anointing to break yokes, break bondages, and transform lives as only God could do. As I speak this morning here, I pray the word of God that comes out of my mouth has might and has right and brings forth not just truth, but brings forth a transformation in your life as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who have ears to hear, may they hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Also, the word authority means this. It means point and effect. Point and effect. It means the authority of Jesus Christ comes to point something out to us that God wants to change or remove or take from us or add to us, but also that it might affect your life in a godly way. Jesus Christ, his authority, wherever the authority of God was at, was upon Jesus Christ. Every place he went at, the authority of God was manifest through him, and it brought a point, but it also brought an effect that would change the very lives of people that he spoke to by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why God says to you and I today, every place you put your feet, I'm going to give that to you to be salt and light on the earth to affect darkness and death. Every place you go, there shall come forth life and light in Jesus' name. We got to start believing that and knowing that, because you got a whole lot of coworkers who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to remind you guys again today, hell is eternal. Hell never ends. The lake of fire never ends. People that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that's where they're going. I don't want to see people going to the lake of fire. Do you? And I'm saying our mouths, our lives have got anointing on them for power, for might, and for authority to transform lives and bring light where there's darkness and bring life where there is death in Jesus' name, okay? So I don't care again how brainwashed folks are by the media or by cultural things around them. Nobody is too far gone that they cannot know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even atheists can come to Christ in Jesus' name, amen? And I'm praying to God we understand that, believe that every day on Monday morning when we wake up, when we realize the authority of God that Jesus Christ walked in is now in me in Jesus' name. So that's just kind of a side point. I'm going to move on here. Also, the word authority means, it means the word efficiency. Wherever Jesus Christ taught, there was actually efficiency, which means the words I speak are easy to understand. They're efficient. Whenever I speak the word out, I give parables, I give examples, I give things where rubber hits the road. Jesus Christ was not a complicated person. He spoke with efficiency. He made sure people understood what he was saying. Amen? And so that's what the authority of God is all about. Number two, let's move on here. Let's go back now to verses 24 through 26. The second thing I want to say about this message is, number two, the wind tries to make us fall. The wind tries to make us fall. I appreciate this prophetic song. This was just sung right now by Miriam about rising and falling. That's what I'm talking about this morning in this message, because the wind tries to make us fall. The goal of the storm was to make the house fall down. Now, the word fall in the Greek language, again, let's write this down, the word fall, it means to go from a higher place to a lower place. When a house crumbles and falls, the materials are still there. The sheetrock, the lumber, the nails, they still exist. It goes from a higher place to a lower place. Satan's desire for each one of you guys is this. I want you to go from a higher place in Christ to a lower place in Christ. But what does the Holy Spirit say to us? You go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. God takes you from a lower place and puts you into a higher place. So Satan works against us by the wind to try to bring us from a higher place down to a lower place to kill, steal, and destroy what God's built in your marriage, in your relationships, in your finances, in your spiritual life, from a higher place to a lower place. I'm believing, God, that each one of us this year finds ourselves ending 2015 in a higher place than we were in January 1st of this year. Amen? Not lower, but higher. Okay, so let's move on here. The word fall also means this, to be miserable. When you go from a higher place to a lower place, the fruit of that is you find yourself being miserable. There's many miserable people around us today. Amen? You see folks around you at restaurants, grocery stores, co-workers who are baptized in pickle juice every day. I mean, they are frowning. They are scowling. They look mad behind the wheel of their cars. They are stressed out. And that is not God's best for our lives. Amen? He didn't save you to make you miserable. He came to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? So when you fall, the sign of that is you find yourself getting miserable. But God's word takes us from misery to joy. Amen? From failure to success. And if I know how the storms work, I won't find myself being affected by the storms that face me in my life. It's very important this morning to start dissecting and seeing how the storms work against us, so we might identify the storms and respond to the storms the right way, that they will not make our house crumble, because God's going to be for me and with me in my mind, my speech, my attitudes, and my faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go now to verse 25 again. Verse 25 says this, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Notice verse 27 says exactly the same thing. It says again, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Verse 25, 27. The rock house, the sand house, the rains came, the floods came, and the winds blew. So, get out your lexicon sometime. Look up the word rain in this verse and see what rain means. Rain means rain. In the Greek language, rain means rain. Isn't that profound? Isn't that revelation? Rain means rain. Look up the word flood. Flood means flood. Flood means flood. Greek word for flood, English word for flood, same thing. Interesting thing is, the Greek word for wind is not the same as wind that we know about this. This word wind in the Greek language is actually a metaphorical word that's an emblem of instability. It actually is an emblem of instability in our lives. A wind comes to somehow make us unstable and introduce into our lives a thing called instability in us. Satan does that with the winds blowing against us. Okay, understand that. So verse 25 and 27, it says, as we build our lives, there's a wind that blows against us to agitate us, to move us, by creating in us an atmosphere that's instable and unstable in all ways of our lives. Verse 25 and 27, saying the same thing, but when it says, and beat upon that house, rock house and sand house, it also is not the same Greek languages in those words. And beat upon that house. When the winds came and beat upon that house, rock house and sand house, the Greek language is not the same for both houses. This is going to be very, very important to catch this morning, because these two kinds of winds have two kinds of purposes and functions against us to be made aware of, so we can actually know how to discern the storms, come against the storms, and not find ourselves falling down because of those storms that come against us in life. So let's go now to the first house, the rock house, the house built upon the rock. Verse 25. This word beat upon, these words beat upon in the Greek language actually means this, to be assaulted by the wind. To be assaulted face on, head on, out in the open by the wind. All of us that are born again believers in Jesus Christ for any period of time know what it means to have a full face on assault by the devil. Amen? I come from Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, my growing up years. I know what full face-on wind is all about. That wind blows, that prairie is flat. There's no mountains, no hills, no valleys in Kansas. We get a face-on wind about 9 months out of the year that was totally driving me crazy sometimes. We praise God for Austin, Texas. We get wind here yesterday, and it's gone today. Amen. When it comes to Wichita, Kansas, it's there for 7 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, and it can sometimes give you bad hair days. Many days. A lot of short-haired folks are from Kansas. Amen. Bad hair days. But it's full face-on wind is what comes to people whose house is built upon the rock. When the enemy discerns that you're a mature believer in Jesus Christ, and he discerns that there's a real rock foundation in your life, he will try to bring head-on, face-on, right-in-your-face attacks against you. And the interesting thing is the Greek words for beat upon the house in verse 27, for the sand house, is not the same. Beat upon the house in this verse, it means this: to cause to stumble, to put a rock in your path, to cause you to stumble. It's not face on. It's not head on. It's not so obvious. It's like a little rise in a sidewalk that Cheryl saw about 3 years ago at a women's conference at Christ for the Nations. There's a little bitty rise because the root of a tree had pushed the crack of the sidewalk up about 1 inch. And Cheryl didn't see that crack. And her toe caught the crack, and she fell on her face on the cement and almost broke her nose. She had a very, very bad bruise and cut on her face. The results are the same. They're trying to get you to fall by the heavy winds that are right in your face or the subtle winds that are not so obvious in your life. And the devil understands and knows that there's sandy areas of your life. He'll bring little subtle nuances into your life, try and trip you up and stumble you and make you fall, and the fall, therefore, will be great, is his desire. Okay? The end result is going to be the same as what Satan hopes. Jesus said, the wind of the storm comes in two different forms, but comes for the same reason, and that is to make you fall. One's full on in your face, the other is more subtle. You know, in English class in high school years ago, they taught us, they use all kind of symbolism in movies. One symbol they use in Hollywood is to show that something evil is about to take place in a movie. They'll make a subtle light wind appear that makes wind chimes kind of go off in a subtle way. You might have saw that in an old Disney film called Something Wicked This Way Comes. That's an old film I saw years ago where an evil man was involved in black magic, came to a town with his traveling show, and when he came to town, a light breeze began to blow across the city. Something wicked this way comes. In the movie called Twister, you might have all seen that one, where the F5 tornado picks up cows and barns and silos, and all the guys live through it somehow in a miracle way, not even calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. Go for that. I don't know how that takes place. But anyway, in this movie, they have this one lady whose actual husband got killed in an F5 Twister years ago. Before he died, he made a contraption in his front yard so when the Twisters are going to be coming, it would make all these wind chimes start going off and show a warning in advance. Well, before the F5 Twister came, a very light, subtle wind began to blow, and all the wind chimes began kind of blowing and making noises in her front yard. You see, that's the kind of wind that Satan tries to send to us, a subtle little wind that tries to stir things up and bring forth a stumbling block into your life to give him a place to cause your house to fall somehow, some way in your life. So point number three today is this: be aware of the subtle wind. Be aware of the subtle wind. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. Amen? Little things. Subtle things. Most of us are acutely aware of the full-on assault of Satan. We can see him trying to attack us with cancers and diseases and broken down engines. And sometimes things take place that causes things to explode at work and we lose our job. We can see the front-on, full-face assaults by the devil very, very easily. But we don't always discern the little subtle winds that Satan sends our way to trip us up and bring a fall to our lives. The Bible says the first sin that man committed back in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says the enemy, the snake, the serpent, came to Eve and was called what? He was called the most subtle creature on the face of the earth. And he says to her, I'm not going to give you a full face-on attack and try to give you a disease or a sickness or slap you in the face. I'm going to start speaking words to you about how God has withheld information from you. If you take and eat this fruit that God forbids, you'll be like he is, and he knows that. And he's threatened by that, and he's holding things back from you. And somehow an offense came into Eve's life and says, how dare God know more than I know? God's holding back good things from me. I'm going to listen to what the serpent says, and I'm going to eat this fruit, and we all know the results of what took place. The devil's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still works subtly in Christians' lives to try to introduce to them twisted words, what God did not really say, to bring forth somehow a fall to your house, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your finances, and he's very good at doing this, okay? Jesus warns us to pay attention to this wind. Is there a subtle wind trying to blow you off course even today? Let's read now in James chapter 1. Let's read verses 2 through 8, more about this. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I want to stop there and say again, he's not saying when bad things take place in your life, start rejoicing and giving thanks to God for that. What he's saying there is, count your blessings and count what God does to bring joy to you when you fall into temptation or trials take place in your life. Okay, so he means come against that and fight that. Don't succumb to it and rejoice in my trials in life. But it moves on and says this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's what Cheryl spoke about this morning, perseverance, patience. Now notice what it says next. But let, not the trials, not temptations, but let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it does not say here that trials and temptations will do a complete work in you. It says patience will do a complete work in you. Amen? What God wants is patience, not trials and tribulations. Okay? Moving on. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to each one liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him who asks in faith, with not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable, notice that word, unstable in all of his ways. So God is saying here through the Holy Spirit, through James, those who are double-minded have got a subtle wind blowing in their minds that makes them unstable in all of their ways. Can you see the danger of being double-minded and having an instability inside your life by the subtle wind? What does double-minded actually mean? Double-minded means to suffer from divided loyalties. It means I want to serve God on Sunday mornings and serve God to go to heaven, but I want to also serve my flesh and do anything my flesh wants to do at the same time. I want the best of both worlds. Those who live like that, the Bible says, receive the worst of both worlds. If you try to receive the best, what you think is the best of both worlds, it brings the worst of both worlds. Amen? Because it brings conviction, it brings guilt, it brings condemnation, it brings an open door to the devil himself. It brings forth an unstable, unsettling wind in your life, okay? So this is all created to us, this double-minded spirit, this subtle wind, by wrong friendships, by out-of-balance hobbies, by reading and viewing wrong things, bad habits in those realms, by wrong philosophies, by wrong atmospheres, and wrong cultures we embrace in this hour and season. God is saying to us as believers, we are called out of darkness into light. We are called out of this world's culture into God's culture, not to punish us and rob and take things from us, but to bless us and use us for the glory of Almighty God. We must become single-minded people that says, I'm going to seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, all these things around me I desire, like peace and like joy and like security, will be added to me automatically when I put God first in my life. Amen. We've seen a lot of subtle winds blowing in churches and denominations right across the world and our nation in these last 10, 20 years. And I'm saying again, it's time for us all to read the Bible for ourselves with the Holy Spirit's eyes reading through us and asking God, Lord, what are you saying to me by these verses in this Bible? Amen? Because I know, again, my 300 seminars on secular rock and roll in 4 years in the early 1980s, the Holy Spirit told me long ago, you cannot make anybody change anything yourself. It always takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I believe the authority of God and the presence of Jesus Christ in your life is going to start pointing things out that are subtle winds. They're going to bring to you somehow instability and try and crumble your rock foundations into sand foundations. Rock into sand. I want sand turned into rock in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's move on here. Number four. Fourth and last thing here. All these subtle winds come to try and cause us to ignore the wisdom of God. Ignore the wisdom of God. Number four is this. It's more difficult to run against the wind than with the wind. That's just common sense. Amen? It's harder to run against the wind than with the wind. If you're going to have the life that God wants you to have, you're going to have to take and learn to stand, walk, and run against the winds in this world. Amen? You must learn to do that. Move on here. James chapter 2 tells us that as you begin to walk with God, you're going to find yourself looking into a mirror and seeing yourself the way that God sees you. You'll be amazed when you see yourself the way God sees you. You're going to find that God points out all your lines and warts and wrinkles and fat cells. What God does is God points out what He likes about you. I love your heart. I love your peace. I love your future. I love what I have in store for you today and for the future as well. I love what you've done to learn things about my kingdom. God will bring forth to you words of life, not words of death. When you look in His mirror every time. Amen? But then God goes beyond that, and God's in that mirror. James 2 says this. He shows you how you are, but He also shows you how He wants you to be and how you will be if your house is built upon the rock. And it's always a good picture. Your future in God is far better than anything your mind can make up on this earth. I promise you that. Amen? The Word will begin to take and set before us a joy. It'll put a vision, a joy before us. You can endure any cross, any wind that comes your way. Your family, you'll see how your family can be. Your marriage, you'll see how your marriage can be. You as a husband, you can see how you really can be. In your workplace, you'll see how you can be. God will put a joy before you for every part of the house of your life. And the good news is, His power and authority will bring it to pass as well. What God reveals to you, God gives grace, anointing, and power to fulfill that by His Word, by His Spirit, and by His grace. Do you believe that? Father God, just right now, just since the Holy Spirit is saying right now, think about a vision, a promise that God's given to you that has not come to pass yet. That promise is still yes and amen today. It may tarry. It may be on delay. It may be on the back burner right now, you think. God sees it as if it was only spoken 5 minutes ago. And God will perform what He said He would do in your life in Jesus' name. The wind comes to take your eyes off of that. That is what God has for you, and put your eyes in a place that is lower than God has in your life. From a higher place to a lower place. Some of us here today have been seeing ourselves, our marriages, our workplace, our children, in a lower place that God's not ordained for them to have at all. I'm believing God today to see every lie smashed, every false vision broken, every lower place that circumstances brought you to today erased out of your minds and your hearts in Jesus' name. Can you believe that with me? I'm going to have James come back to the platform now if you help me out, James. And I want to say in closing here, the key for us today is you got to make our minds up that I'm going to see my husband the way God does. I'm going to see my wife the way God does. I'm going to see my job the way God does. I'm going to see my children the way God does. I'm going to see this local church the way God does. I'm going to see Austin, Texas, and Pflugerville, and all surrounding areas the way God does. And if I don't know how God sees them, I'm going to take time to pray and say, Father God, show me how you see them. You'll be amazed that God will answer that prayer every time. Every time. Amen? There'll be a joy set before you. You'll endure any cross that comes your way. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now, just forgive them for a chance to focus, a chance to think, a chance to pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to even now begin to take and plow our hearts some more. You know, the Bible says that Judah plows, and during praise and worship time today, I just sense the Holy Spirit putting a plow in deeply inside of our hearts to start removing and bringing to the surface some rocks and some stones and some things that can become stumbling blocks that can be placed there by subtle winds. The key to being stable is for us to, first of all, replace the sand foundation with a rock foundation. How many folks realize that cement is made by sand mixed with water and cement? And what God is saying today is, my word is that water, and my spirit is that cement. And if you'll marry that with the sand of your life, I will form concrete in time, says the Lord. And the winds will not take and make you fall. They will make you stand, because the winds dry the cement and bring forth a firm rock foundation in Jesus' name. We do this again by being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Let's pray this morning a prayer, if you do this together, please, in a moment. Let's pray today and say, I am not going to let the wind misplace me and put me in the wrong place in my life. But I'm going to see the house that God's been building in my marriage, my relationships, my finances, my body, my health. I'm going to see that as a rock foundation. No more subtle winds trying to crumble and tear this house down in Jesus' name. Let's pray together for all those who may sense that taking place. If you sense a subtle wind has been blowing in your mind, in your heart, in your life, in your circumstances, let's pray about that right now and say, I will not let this subtle wind misplace what God is building by His Spirit in my house, in my family, in my marriage, in my children, in my home, in my workplace, in Jesus' name. We praise you, God, this day. We praise you, God, this day. Help us discern the subtle winds around us. Help us, God, be those who resist the subtle winds. Let us not, God, let not put up the sails on our boats to catch that wind and follow that wind to a path of destruction. Let us, oh God, put those sails down that catch that wind and say, I will take and resist this wind. I'll not embrace this wind. This wind will not cause me to fall, not cause me to crumble, but I will stand strong in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, the last thing I want to pray about, I want to ask today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed still a little while longer, are there those here today who you know that your house, your life is built on a rock foundation? You know who you are in Christ. You know you're going to heaven. You know you're born again. You know your marriage is ordained by God if you're married. You know that God gave those children to you. But somehow you're facing a full face assault by the enemy right now. He's coming at you not subtly. He's coming at you aggressively, right in your face. And you want to be prayed for and have us pray today. This assault would begin to cease, and those winds would stop to blow. in Jesus' name. Would you raise your hand right now if you're like that today? Those that are facing a full face, full-on assault. Anybody else? I see about 5, 6, 7, 8 hands. Anybody else? Let's all stand to our feet now quickly, please. Let's all stand up. We have time here. It's only 10 minutes till 12 right now. We have time to pray for you 8, 9, 10 folks. Please come to the front right now if you do that. Come to the front, please. So I really sense the Holy Spirit told me 2 days ago there'd be folks in the service this morning who are facing full-on frontal assaults by the powers of darkness. And if we as a body of Christ, you guys out there and us in leadership together, will pray for these people, I believe it will make a difference for them in Jesus' name. I'm hearing right now the Holy Spirit again reminds me of that story about how Jesus was asleep in the boat when the storms were about to sink the ship, the boat, full of disciples, full of destiny, going to the other side of a lake, the Sea of Galilee. And what happens there is they wake Jesus up, and he stands up in the boat, and he commands and says, "Waves be still, winds cease." And by his word and authority, it happened. And they found themselves go safely to the other side. Amen? These folks right now have winds and waves blowing perhaps all around them. They need you and I this morning to let Jesus Christ rise up in us for them and say, "Peace be still in Jesus' name. Stand and don't fall." Can you raise your hands up toward these folks? Lift your hand out toward these folks. Reach out towards them. Let's pray together here. Intercede together here. Ask the Holy Spirit to work with us and through us to pray for these folks and believe God to minister in their lives. Father, we praise you and thank you, God, as we pray for these people individually. That you, O God, are the Lord of their lives, the Lord of the boat of their lives. That you build a house, but you also build a ship, which is our destinies. And I say their destinies, O God, shall be intact. That no wind, no wave, no storm shall overcome them in the name of Jesus. But you, O God, shall awaken and you shall rise up with healing in your wings. And bring forth, God, deliverance and bring forth peace and strength and answers and solutions in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you, God. Thank you, Lord.